to study the Word, to share some ideas and thoughts together. We commit our spirits to you in Christ's name. Amen. In the finishing of this book of Romans, the letter to the Romans, we're talking about the meaning of stability. Some of these concepts are rather potent, or rather significant, and I take quite a little time with it because I want you to get it. I want you to really understand, because it has to do with your entire view of life. Someone was asking me very recently about anxieties. Well, you see, anxieties are really based upon an over-evaluation of the meaning of things, of the circumstances that we're in, putting too much weight on material things or circumstances or people. We can't live our lives depending for our own stability on what other people do, because you could never depend on what other people do. We live in a world of disappointments, frustrations. You can expect that after you get along in life a ways. You come to expect that you're not going to be free of these things. Someone asks me, what happens if my husband's unfaithful to me? This person lives in anxiety about that. And I said, well, there are no guarantees. I wish I could guarantee something like that. But life just can't be guaranteed. And we're all human and vulnerable to things. We can't guarantee our financial picture. We can't guarantee the success of a business. We can't guarantee our health. Nothing. There are no guarantees. But the one guarantee we all can live with and have is that the meaning of life is not in those things, but in the spirit, which is the inner core of those things. The other is the outer shell. Remember, like I told you about the banana, you know, the fellow that ate his first banana who thought it was fine, except there was too much core to it. We tend to treat the peeling as the reality, you see, as the thing. We allow those things which are passing and transient to become a focal point. When they're all passing, almost invariably, if things are good, they're going to turn bad. If they're bad, they're going to turn good. You know, I mean, they're always in flux. You can't depend on people. It's always a puzzle palace. And I've put up with this for all the years of my ministry, which have been 35 or so, or 40, considering that I started in college even, working with young people in ministry and so forth. And 40 years that I've been at this. And it's no different now than it was then. And people are not any better and they're not any worse. They're just people. And they do squirrely things, and they don't even know why they do it. You minister to them, and you think you're getting something across, and then you all of a sudden find out they haven't even gotten it, and you've said it 100 times, and they still haven't got the picture. But then I was saying, you know, Jesus said, how is it you do not understand? Have I been so long time with you, he says to Philip, and you have not known me? It's frustrating sometimes to people say things, and I listen to them, and I think, my gosh, where have you been, you know? Have you heard what I said? But it's just the human condition that people are people. And people make a lot of moves that they could not explain why they made the move. People will make a promise to themselves, well, I'm not going to do that again. And shortly they're doing it again, see? It's like in debt. I think I talk a lot about that because it's an angle with me that it's important because I am responsible for the establishing and maintaining a fairly significant asset picture. And I'm always, you know, looking at those things and trying to manage things properly. So it comes up a lot because for most of us today, economics represent a pretty strong part of our lives, trying to meet the bills and just keep the wolf away from the door. Just to live today is difficult. Remember I said to you once before, people who think in terms of laying up treasures for themselves, that's a concept today we don't have to worry too much about. Laying up treasure for yourself is tough enough just to keep ahead of the inflation rate, even though the inflation being at a moderate point now, very modest. The point I'm making about it is, if I talk a lot about it, because there are good analogies in that area and things that are real, you can talk about all the celestial things you want. When you get down to nitty-gritty, it's how we survive, really. In terms of these financial matters, a person gets out of debt, they finally manage to pay off that credit card obligation, they let it get out of hand, and they go, well, I'm never going to do that again. And the only way to guarantee that is to take a large pair of scissors to the cards. But, you say, I'm never going to do that, and you do it. Or, I'm never going to get into a contract like that again, and you do it, you say. I'm never going to lend money to this relative again, and then they put up a bad mouth, and you do it. But, you're going to do that when you're 60, as well as when you're 30. You think you learn. I suppose you do learn, but then there isn't any real explaining of things, why people do what they do. That isn't to say we never learn, I think. We do learn, but we get moved by emotions and consideration. The thing that happens is this. There's always a slightly different twist to it that makes it look different. And then pretty soon you know you're right in the same soup, but it looked like a different brand. You thought it was a vegetable beef soup, you see, and it turned out to be clam chowder, but it's still soup. So you're back in the soup again. But people do things, and you say things, right? You say things to people, and you want to cut your tongue out. Old Omar Khayyam says it rather well. The moving finger writes, and having writ moves on. Nor all thy piety nor wit can call it back to cancel half a line, nor all thy tears wash out a word of it. You say things, and you wish you hadn't said that. But you can't unsay it once it's said. You can apologize, but you can't unsay it. Now, all of this would throw you into quite a turmoil unless you realize that it is common to human nature. Don't think you're the only one that makes stupid mistakes. Don't think you're the only one that does something impulsively that you shouldn't do. Secondly, nothing is all that permanent. Nothing. It's all transient. And even in those kinds of maladies that one may have to accept for the rest of their lives. After all, there isn't that much left of life anyway. So you struggle with it for 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years. But it's not permanent. Because, you see, you have to understand this body, this circumstance, this situation we're in, or the milieu, as I called it last week, this circumstance or situation we're in is the outer vessel. It may be marred and scarred and battered, but it's... And still holds the substance. Substance is the spirit. And the physical person, the mental person, the circumstances we're in represent the vessel in which the spirit is contained. Rather ignoble, I'm afraid. I can say this to you, that it is strange that God should allow such a noble thing as the spirit to be contained in such an ignoble vessel, such a poor vessel. But you see, I said that, but I wasn't the originator of that thought. Paul said it long before I did. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, what treasure? Well, he had just got through saying that God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the presence of Jesus Christ. In other words, the energy of God that created the universe, that put the sun in the celestial section in the beginning, but also is responsible for the flow of energy from the sun, that same God energizes us. And so the sun that shines on our face and puts energy through is the handiwork of God, but the same energy energizes us within. The same Spirit energizes us within. That energizes the sun, or causes the sun to be an energy source to us. You see, the sun shines every day. You may not see it, but it's there. And the clouds cover it, and you don't see it, but through the cloud cover is the energy of the sun lighting our way anyway, see? So even though it's cloudy and very dark clouds sometimes, yet there's light from the sun, which is able to penetrate. The energy of the sun penetrates the clouds, which shouldn't seem so strange when you can penetrate a steel plate with the energy from a neutron, and then nothing can stop it. You can that neutron will penetrate 50 feet of steel plate. Point I'm making is this: the energy of God penetrates all, everything. Keeps the tides moving. You are not so far here from the beach. And you can grind away on your surfboard or your paddle or whatever. And your sailboard or your little putt-putt. You grind away on there. But that is a very, very minute little kind of energy as compared to the energy that moves the tide. You go down there tonight, the tide is high. You go other times, the tide's way out. Well, you say anybody knows that the moon and the tide move together, you know, that there's gravitational pull. But who is responsible for the gravitational pull, eh? In other words, the energy of God is totally inexplicable, but it is constant. Now, where do you think the light in this room comes from? You know, we say that's artificial light. Is it, after all, artificial? It's no more artificial than the sun, because the energy that causes that light to go on comes through the wires that make up the wiring of this house. But those wires are connected in turn to other wires that are the local power source, which are in turn connected to wires that finally go back to, for us, Boulder Dam, I guess. And there, the wires are connected to giant generators, which are in turn connected to turbines, which are in turn moved by the water coming through the dam. And where does that water come from? What's moving that? The gravitational pull of the earth. So this is from gravity. This lamp, it's the same energy. You can go out and look at the moon, and the gravitational pull there is pulling the tide. See, so nothing's artificial in a sense. Because even if we manufacture it, we've taken it from substances that are part of the earth. There's nothing artificial. Everything is from the hand of God. And that energy is moving this city, this state, this country, this world. In other words, what are the energies that light up the city? Okay? What are the energies that keep things flowing? What are the energies that keep your automobile going? Well, you say, that's easy. We get that from gasoline. So where does the gasoline come from? Well, it's a refinement of crude oil. Where does that come from? From the ground. Well, how do we get it out of the ground? Through oil wells. And how do the oil wells run? Well, they run through these pumps, which in turn come from sources of energy, which in turn come ultimately from the sun, which comes from God. And it's the laws of physics, Newtonian physics, that are at work in the functioning of your automobile down the street. Force and counterforce. Now, the same energy is flowing through your neurons, your nervous system, and your body. That's what enables me to talk and you to listen. Because energy is passing between us here. How is it that just moving certain organs here produces intelligible communication to you? That's quite a mystery. I just slap my lips here and something hits your ear and your brain. And it makes sense of sorts, a modicum of sense at least. And where does all this energy come from? See, it comes from God. Now in Ephesians 1, it says God energizes us, I'm translating this from the Greek text, with the same energy with which he raised Christ from the dead. The energy of God flowed through Jesus to give him life after the crucifixion, and that same energy flows through us to give us life. But the life we have is the life of the Spirit, which is an unseen thing, but the most powerful thing of all. You don't see the energy that has to do with my communication here at all. Even the energy that turns on this light bulb, you only see the conduit, and you see the wire. But you can't see the energy that flows through the wire. That's invisible. If you can think in those terms, your whole body is, say, like a storage battery, something that's full of energy through the Spirit in you. Now, whatever you do to the outer shell is secondary. It gets battered and beat, and we make mistakes, and we do dumb things and foolish things. But those things are only the inept expression of a limited brain, which is not adequate to truly express what is in our spirits. All of this that I'm saying to you about the energy of God is in our own spirits. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our spirits, or hearts, same thing, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face or presence of Christ. Now see, when he says to give light, what is light? Light is energy. All of this stuff's going on unknown to us. See, what I'm saying, the city stands, the earth remains, this house stands, this light goes on here, we talk, all these things are energy from God, keeping alive the universe. Now, is it so difficult to imagine that energy in us is a far more powerful, meaningful thing than the tawdry and paltry circumstances that cause us so much anxiety? So this body doesn't function too well. It's just a body. The automobiles we drive get battered. We get another one, and it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference to our person. The person's a valuable thing. And so if an accident occurs, the only thing you're really concerned about is the people. You don't care about the car. The people. One of our young women had an accident down there. She was uninjured. which we're just so grateful. But the car was pretty badly bent. And it was standing 150 feet away from me, and the girl asked me where I was. She said, what do you think the insurance company will do with that? I said, I can tell from here the frame's bent. There's nothing they can do with it. It's going to be junk. It's salvage. You know, they're going to total it. What was important was she was not total. She was all right. That's the important thing. So you are the important thing, not the circumstances around you. I'm not talking about ego trips. I'm talking about the inside of you, the spirit. That's the important thing. And you plow through the circumstances. You make it through one way or another. Tomorrow comes and the next day comes and the next day and you're still around. So what can they do to you? They can take away your house or your business. They can't even do that too much, you know. But you're still you. See? Your spirit is still there. That's the important thing. And we're tied to God. Nothing can happen to you. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. That's what the prophet says to Prophet Isaiah said regarding God. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You see that? The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So don't be concerned too much. It's human to worry and it's human to hurt. And we understand that. You're welcome to that. I give you the privilege of hurting if you would like, or worrying if you choose. Now, you can have that, and still we're friends. And the Lord is still your friend if you worry a little bit. You're entitled to that. That's all you got, maybe. But understand that. Your stability is as constant as God. Because the heart of you is the Spirit of God. And that will never change. In spite of the surface things and the behavior patterns that have to be looked at and handled. So as I've always told you, behaving yourself and handling your life well makes it more comfortable and more you're better off here on the earth. But it doesn't change the spirit per se. You don't behave yourself so you can be spiritual, you see. It's better to behave yourself. You may get some lumps if you don't. Not because God's out beating you, but because life has a way of delivering a kidney punch if you leave yourself undefended. Life's just like that. It's tough enough to keep going when you do everything right. But when you do things carelessly, then you've got problems. But that's just life. That doesn't have to do with whether you have the Spirit of God in you or not. So take this vessel you've been given and this set of circumstances and cope with it and live with it and function in it, accept the challenge of it and move from day to day and handle it. But recognize your stability is not in how you handle this life, but in the Spirit of Christ within you. That's where your stability is. And that I can guarantee, whereas I can't guarantee anything else. I cannot guarantee the constancy of the people around you. I can't guarantee the constancy of the economic situation. I can't guarantee the constancy of your health. And I will not use God as a genie in a bottle that you rub and have all these lovely things happen to you, you see. I can't say to you, well, you won't have trouble because God is with you. You may have a lot of trouble even if God is with you, but you'll be able to cope with the trouble, you see? That's the important thing. And as you cope with your problems, you become stronger. Remember, as I've always said, that if, as some groups teach, everything ought to be straightened out for you, then you are worse children than ever, then you're spoiled brats. You're not just children, you're spoiled brats. You're not allowed to have any negative action in your life. Take it a day at a time. Recognize the transiency of the earthly scene and recognize the constancy of the energy and power of God in your life, and then be at peace. Because He's not going to let come to you more than you can handle. You may think it's more than you can handle, but it isn't, really. You've been in many situations in your life where you were sure you just couldn't do another step or do another turn or whatever, and you are able to do another one, after all. Well, I think we're going to stop there. Father, we ask You to take these words and use them for Your glory, for our understanding, and may the Spirit be ministered to here tonight, whatever the brain has to do. In Christ's name, amen.